Good morning, everybody. Hope you're doing well, wherever you happen to be, staying warm. So, I wanted to go ahead and talk a bit about the Barron piece. I had wanted to get this done a little bit earlier, but I kept getting distracted this week with a bunch of different committee meetings and so forth. And all that aside, go ahead and take out the Barron essay, and if you have a hard copy, and again, I know the quality of reading this online, it's very tiny type, so I did explain in the instructions how to access a better version of this, and I sent out the PDF of the entire book. This was a piece that originally was published in an edited collection called Passions, Pedagogies, and 21st Century Technologies. And it was published in 1999. And I think you can get a sense of that as you're reading. If you're reading carefully, you no doubt got a sense that this was a bit dated. And I think that's a good thing. It actually, as we'll talk about later, it actually, the fact that this is 20 years old actually adds an extra element of usefulness to this particular reading, because Barron is writing at the very end of the 1990s. He's sort of both looking back from that vantage point and looking ahead. And a lot of the things that he has to say in this piece are quite prescient. I was also thinking about this as I was getting ready to do the podcast. I was thinking about how I was, you know, sort of made a big deal about the fact that if you did read this online, it was very tiny type and all of that, and how can you access this in other cases? And I was thinking about how, you know, I always give the advice to students in all of my classes that I think it's best to print this stuff out so you have a hard copy. And why do I do that? Well, I suppose, guilty of a particular kind of preference that Barron talks about. You know, there's something about, and I suspect many of you feel the same way, there's something about having that hard copy of the document that you can put a pencil or a pen to, you can underline, and of course you can do that online. You can do that, you know, you can make comments on digital documents, on PDFs, you can underline things and so forth and so on if you have the right program. But I'm just thinking here about, you know, how we still, particularly when it comes to our students, we definitely privilege, the written word over the digital, right? And that this is exactly what Barron is talking about. So, what I want to do in this is just kind of start and just kind of go through this. Go through this essay. I'm not quite sure where I want to begin. But I suppose we'll just start near the beginning. If you go to page, so again, this is from pencils to pixels, indeed. If you have a hard copy, if you downloaded the PDF that I sent out, I'm going to use those page numbers, okay? And I'll try to, for those of you who are reading this on the screen, I'll try to pull that up as well so I can kind of orient you to that. But basically, I'm looking at page 16, which is the second page of the chapter. And this, by the way, Barron. Just a little bit about Barron. He is still teaching. He's at the University of Illinois, over in Champaign-Urbana, over there in central Illinois. A couple of hours, I guess, from Indianapolis, due west. And I think he's still teaching. He may be an emeritus by this point because, you know, he's been around for a while. But I'm pretty sure he's still teaching. But anyway, let's go to page 16. Let's look at that second full paragraph on page 16. He says, When we write with cutting-edge tools, this is the beginning of that paragraph, it is easy to forget that whether it consists of energized particles on a screen or ink embedded in paper or lines gouged in clay tablets, writing itself is always first and foremost a technology. We're going to come back to that because that's a really important point. A way of engineering materials in order to accomplish an end. And so I want to take just a moment here to pause and kind of give you guys a minute to think about this, because I think for some of you, this may be kind of familiar, but for many of you, if not most of you, this may be a somewhat different way of thinking about writing as a practice, writing as a human way of engaging the world, of explaining our world. Writing is a technology. Now, we forget that writing is a technology. We forget that language is a technology. And we forget simply because, as Barron points out throughout the essay, we forget that fact because we are so comfortable with writing. We are so, it's so ubiquitous. It's so much a part of our everyday lives it's very easy for us to forget that we are, when we write an email, when we submit an assignment, when we send someone a text message, when we send someone a snap or post something on Facebook, we are engaging or using a technology that is thousands of years old. Let me finish this paragraph here. Next sentence, tied up as it is, he's talking about writing here, tied up as it is with value-laden notions of literacy, art, and science, of history and psychology, of education, of theory, and of practicality, we often lose sight of writing as technology until, that is, a new technology like the computer comes along and we are thrown into excitement and confusion as we try it on, try it out, reject it, and then adapt it to our lives. And of course, adapt our lives to it. And I'll go ahead and read the next paragraph. New communications technologies, if they catch on, go through a number of strikingly similar stages. After their invention, their spread depends on accessibility, function, and authentication. Let me first summarize what I mean, and then I'll present some more detailed examples from the history of writing or literacy technologies to illustrate. And so he goes on to give us this really, and a number of you talked about how witty this is, and he is quite witty in this piece. He's got a very dry sense of humor, and he's making, jokes about, golfers using pencils without erasers and all kinds of hilarious stuff like that. I think he even makes a couple of Clinton jokes. Again, this is the late 90s, so, you have to sort of take yourself back to that, to that era. Pretty sure all of you were alive in the 1990s, so you'll remember kind of the cultural trappings of that era. Reading this again made me want to go listen to the Macarena. No, I'm just joking. At any rate, so let's just pause for a minute and think about this. When he's talking about writing as a technology, and the way that when a new literacy technology like the computer or the smartphone comes along, it disrupts us. It sort of calls attention to itself, right? One example that he gives, one of the very older examples that Barron gives. Let me just. That I'll talk about here. He talks about the invention of the telephone, right? And how in the 19th century, when I'm sort of jumping ahead here towards sort of the middle end part of the essay. But as I was reading this, I couldn't help but think about, many of us in this class are teachers. I couldn't help but think about kind of the way that we romanticize the written word and the way that we tend to reject these emergent forms of technology. Like, for example, here's what I'm getting at, right? How many of you have scolded a student for using a smartphone in class, right? Raise your hand. I'm raising my hand as well, right? You know, what are you doing there with that sprite? I mean, you know, this is an excellent example, I think, of how we are made anxious by these new literacy technologies, right? And of course, like, we don't want students to be goofing off on Snapchat on their phones during class or tweeting or whatever, because we want them to be paying attention, right? I mean, that sort of has a, you know, that kind of makes sense. But we also, there's an element here of we are thrown, to use kind of a Heideggerian term, we are thrown by these emergent technologies like texting. And so I got to thinking about kind of smartphones and Snapchat and some of these apps. When I'm reading on page 25, this is the section that begins on the telephone. And don't worry, we'll go back to some of the stuff that we skipped over, but I want to talk about this. I think it's an excellent kind of way to begin this discussion of how new literacy technologies challenge us and throw us in a particular way, right? So it says, the introduction of the telephone shows us once again how the pattern of communication technology takes shape. This is on page 25, by the way, if you have the hard copy. The telephone was initially received as an interesting but impractical device for communicating across distance. Although, as Thoreau feared, the telegraph eventually did permit Maine and Texas and just about everywhere else to say nothing to one another. Samuel F.B. Morse, who patented the telegraph and invented its code, saw no use for Alexander Graham Bell's even newer device, the telephone. Morse refused Bell's offer to sell him the rights to the telephone patent. He was convinced that no one would want the telephone because it was unable to provide any permanent record of conversation. Right? I mean, think about that for a minute, right? The idea that the telephone, you know, the idea that the telephone would not be valuable because, you know, precisely because it could not provide this kind of written record. I wrote out on the side in my margins, Snapchat, right? I mean, that's exactly what Snapchat is. It's a way of texting where the record is immediately erased. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But if we go down to that next paragraph, he says, although we now consider it indispensable, like writing, the uses of the telephone were not immediately apparent to many people. In other words, people were thrown by it. People had to kind of figure their way around the telephone. They had to figure out the kind of the ins and outs of this new technology. Interestingly, I don't think Barron mentions this, but a little bit of sort of a little trivia factoid for you. One of the very first people in the United States to own a telephone was actually Mark Twain, the celebrated American writer and humorist. And it's reported that he owned a telephone at a time when literally there were maybe just a dozen people in the entire country. We're talking, I think, maybe the 1870s, 1880s. There were only maybe a dozen people or corporations in the entire United States that actually had a telephone, right? We're talking about the days when, you know, people's phone numbers were a single digit, right? People, as Barron talks about here, you know, people are were concerned about the telephone leading to a lapse in morality because, you know, you have a situation where lovers, you know, let's say teenagers will be, and I think Barron makes this point very well, you know, will be able to talk on the phone and make kissy noises to each other over the phone. And oh my goodness, I mean, this is and so, you know, it's very easy for us to kind of sit and laugh and point our fingers at the people in the 19th century. Oh, you know, these backwards. Okay. Sorry about that, folks. I had a phone call and I got sidetracked because of the phone call. So here's the point that I was making. And I hope this works because despite what you may think, I am not as technologically savvy when it comes to Audacity as some people. But at any rate, what I was saying is, you know, it's very easy for us to kind of point at these 19th century people and kind of, oh, you know, that's hilarious. But I want you to also think at the same time about the kind of moralizing that many of us tend to do when it comes to, you know, smartphones and so forth, right? Like this notion that, you know, people in general, I should say, have access to each other in all kinds of unprecedented ways via FaceTime, via Snapchat. People on their smartphones have all kinds of access. And of course, you know, Barron, when he's writing this in 1999, this is a good almost a decade before the kind of smartphone revolution, right? So, you know, the iPhone was introduced in 2007. Barron is writing this in 1999. This is back when, goodness gracious, you know, people still had those old Nokia flip phones and, you know, with that annoying ringtone, right? So we're, you know, it's worth kind of paying attention to these things. And I think the section here on the telephone is really interesting. On page 26, he says, people had to learn how to converse on the telephone. Its sound reproduction was poor. Callers had to speak loudly and repeat themselves to be misunderstood, a situation hardly conducive to natural conversation. People didn't know how to, you know, how should we answer the phone? Do you say hello? Do you say goodbye? Goodbye at the time was thought to be too kind of heavy-handed, right? Because it's a form of, you know, God be with. So the point is that when these new technologies are introduced, there is a period where we have to figure them out, right? We have to kind of figure out how they're going, you know, how they work, what are the ins and outs, and how are they going to impact, how are they going to impact us, and how are they going to impact society? So I am going to leave, I am not done, by the way, I am not done with Barron. I am not done with the essay at all. I'm going to continue this podcast. But what I want to do now is kind of let you guys think about some of these things for a bit. I'm going to go ahead and finish up the grading of your responses and finish reading all of those responses to the Barron essay. And I would love for you to pose, and all you have to do is just, you can just reply to this announcement, or you can post something in the discussion space or what have you. But I would love to hear your thoughts on some of the points that, just some of the few points that I raised in this podcast. I am going to come back to the Barron essay. And I know you guys are working through Murphy right now, and that's fantastic. But I would also really encourage you to go back and reread the Barron essay, because I think, you know, these are some concepts in here that we're going to return to again and again and again. And I think it's well worth your time. So you will be getting another podcast from me on From Pencils to Pixels. We are not done with this yet, but I want to go ahead and just get this out there so you guys can have something to listen to and think about. Look for feedback soon from me on the Barron responses. And I hope you guys have a great rest of the day. Take care.